you for singing so much. Brother Tony will be preaching in the morning and tomorrow night as well. I apologize, I really do, and I'm not trying to be humble about this. But tonight I preach, and I apologize to our members. They hear me all the time. I think I've preached only three times in 33 years, maybe four at the most at this conference. But it's an urgent hour in my heart. I think we've about run out of time. I think we think, well, at the last moment, God will send revival. I think we think that. I have never been negative in this pulpit, to my knowledge, to my people, or to you. I see no revival coming. I've pondered that statement right there for at least 6 or 7 months, knowing I'd say it tonight. I don't see revival. I see corruption in our churches. I think we could have revival, and it's not going to happen in Washington, D.C., and it's not going to happen in Sacramento, and I'm not against all those things that all you godly men are doing, but I tell you, it's going to happen in my house, in my life, and in this church house. America needs the church, and I hope that tonight you'll pray with me, because I tell you, And you have to understand. I see these great men of God, Brother Tony, sitting down, all you dear men, and I'm not trying to say, okay, I'm Mr. Important tonight, but I am great. You'd have to be here this morning to find that one out. Great means old. I'll get me to the great men, and somehow, I don't know how it happened. And I feel like I've got a lot of life left if the Lord tarries. But somehow I've outlived a lot of you. And so I am a great man, not in position or who I am, but I've lived a long time, pastored the same church 42 years. I don't know anything about a computer. I don't know how to start one up. I guess you pull a rope and it starts. I don't know. But I do know something about the church. And I've crisscrossed this country for years. I am frightened what I see. I'm seeing things change so fast. And it scares me for you and for your children. And it scares me and frightens me for my grandchildren. Brother David Russ, come lead us in prayer. And I pray that we'll give generously and then have our hearts open to the Word of God. Brother Giovanelli, would you let me just get right to preach? And I think you're supposed to sing, but that would be a help if you would, please. Come on, my brother.
Let's pray. Lord in heaven, we come humbly before your throne tonight. We ask your blessing, Lord, on this offering. I think about the many in this room tonight, Lord. They've sacrificed to be here. I pray, Lord, you bless their sacrifice as they do it now again. Bless our pastor as he preaches tonight. Give him your power. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
I invite you to take your Bible, if you would, and turn to the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 21. 1 Kings, chapter 21, we'll ask you to stand to your feet as we read our scripture text this evening. 1 Kings, chapter number 21. We want to take up our reading in verse number 1, and we're going to read all the way down through verse number 16. 1 Kings, chapter 21. Verse number 1 down through verse number 16. Let's read together. Let's endeavor to stay together, pausing at the commas, the semicolons, and the periods as we read the Word of God this evening. And verse number 1 is where we'll begin. Ready? Begin.
And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, on the palace of Ahab, the king of Samaria.
Have been stirred. Lord, as we've been reminded of Calvary and the great price that you paid, as we've called to our minds the fact that you have never failed us along this journey, there's no need for us to doubt you tonight.
But now, Lord, we need to hear from you once again. Lord, as our pastor has mentioned, this is a critical hour. Lord, you've gathered us here for such a time as this. And I pray that you would anoint our pastor in a special way tonight. Give him power from on high. Lord, may you help him to speak as you would have him speak to us. And Lord, may we not listen with ears that do not hear. But Lord, may we be tender toward your word and toward your spirit. And may we take heed to the admonition that is sounded forth. And may we go forth from this place ready to serve you and to live for you and to reach this generation for the cause of Christ. We ask you to bless the reading of your word and the preaching to follow, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
You may be seated tonight. Thank you for the reading of God's word, a long passage. Naboth's life was taken from him. He was stoned for a piece of land, a vineyard. Ahab approached him and said, I want your land. It's adjacent to my property. Give me your vineyard. He said, I'm not giving you my vineyard. He said, I'll give you money. Always follow the money trail. He said, I'll give you money. And I said, I'm not giving it. My daddy gave it to me. My father gave it to me. My fathers gave it to me. I'm not surrendering my land to you. Ahab went home like a sissy. He went on his bed and began to cry. And his wife, Jezebel, came in. And she said, oh, boopsie whoopsie, what's wrong with you? And he began to tell the story. And she said, I'll take care of it. It's not your business, Jezebel. Don't fight a fight that's not yours. There's so much confusion in our home because we're fighting a fight or we're dealing with an area that we have no business to deal with. God's order, God gives a man in a home. He is called the head of the home. That one is the one that sets a direction for the family. And then God lovingly gives a helpmeet, comes alongside, and her safe life is under the umbrella of her shepherd, her husband, her protector, her provider. And then God gives that man and woman children, and they submit to the authority of their mother and dad, and they obey their parents. We're all out of order. Kids are bossing around, mothers and dads. Isaiah chapter 3, children in that day shall rule over them. And the Bible says in Isaiah 3 that women will rule over them. That's not God's divine order. And so this woman says, I'll get it for you. And she figured it out how to get it. And her thought was, we'll just kill the guy. And that's what is happening to the possession that's been entrusted to your care. My mother and dad and your mother and dads perhaps, and our grandparents and our daddies and these men that I had lined up here, all the generational preachers this morning, many rows back, and they're all gone. I mean, Bob Jones Sr.'s gone, and Harold Saitler's gone, and Tom Malone is gone, and Lee Robertson is gone, and Curtis Hudson is gone, and Lester Roloff is gone, and Oliver B. Green is gone. And I went back here, and here is Bobby Robertson. He's gone. Those men were restrainers. Those men kept us from danger. And I walked over those men because they're all gone. And here's what our generation's doing. They're not going back here and looking at these men. They're going over here and looking at Joel Osteen. They're looking at the new movement of the day, the contemporary movement, or the emergent church movement. And that movement will destroy what's been given to us. These men of God gave, and before them, and John Rice, so many, they gave to us. J. Frank Norris, and on it goes. It's been handed down. Here's a man that had a vineyard. So I can't give it away. My father gave it to me. My dad gave it to me. There's a crowd that wants what we have. Why don't you go start your own? Stop trying to take our sheep. And the Bible says, he said, I'm not going to give it up. Verse number 2. And Ahab said to Naboth, give me the vineyard. Give me your church. Give me what your church believes. I'll tell you what this church has been given. This church, for these almost 43 years, this July, it has been founded on Bible preaching. Amen. We're not a seminar church. I said, I mean it. We are not a seminar church. I don't want it feeling on Sunday morning and Sunday night, well, the seminar is on. The seminar is not on. I tell you what's on. Preaching's on. Greek word is keruk. It means to lift your voice and herald. And Jesus preached. Well, brethren, we've got to share a little principle tonight. Nonsense on principles. Preach the word. And so today, we want your preaching and we want your gospel singing. We don't need a jazz band in here. That years I spent in vanity and pride worked real well tonight. And now I've given to Jesus everything. We didn't need a dance band to make that song work. It's gospel songs, singing, making melody in your heart with hymns and songs and spiritual songs. It's keeping the church. So, well, it's pretty hard to do that. You got to draw a crowd. That is not my business or your business. Upon this rock, I, God, Jesus, will build my church. And the gates of hell, your job is not to build. Your job is to fulfill. And mine is, well, preaching, gospel singing. We replace preaching with sharing. We replace gospel singing with rock music. We've replaced really worship, real divine worship with the golden calf. We have traded convictions for worldliness. Don't you get tired of how many are trying to explain why we can do wrong? I've had it. I mean, I'm so sick and tired. Well, you guys are so narrow, and I know you've heard the illustration about that narrow, but that's where we're going to stay around here. Stop capitulating. Stop giving in. You are the pillar, the ground, the church, the truth, the church, and God, your man, is God's man. Well, I don't like it. They'll call me names. Well, they call a lot of people names in this book. They called our Lord names. They crucified him. They crucified Peter. They cut the head of the Apostle Paul. John the Baptist's head was severed for doing right. Jeremiah was thrown in jail. But they never surrendered what was given to them. Convictions replaced with worldliness. Tears, and I like this thought. Tears have been replaced in our church for fun. I'm tired. I'm so tired hearing church is so fun. Thank God for fun. But this is not a ball game. This is the seriousness of your life and my life and your mate's life and your children's life and the person sitting next to you. And it's the seriousness of the lost in this area to reach for Christ. This does not need to be based upon fun. Look at your calendar. Is the church calendar all filled with fun? And I'm all for activities. And you have them and we have them, like youth activity, all of that. But how about serving the Lord with gladness? How about actually abounding in the work of the Lord, not the fun of the Lord? I think tonight, as I look at this crowd, they want our Holy Spirit power to be powerless. Powerless! We're supposed to go after souls, and yet I see and hear somebody going after transfers. The last two years, one half of all American churches, 2 years, added zero people to their membership. Every year, 4,000 churches in America close and 1,000 begin. We're losing 3,000 churches a year. China, America, the three most recognized now heathen countries in the world. America. I used to be able to turn an AM radio on and hear preaching. I recall when I began pastoring here, and I'd turn it on about the 1100 dial. I won't give you the exact station. And here on evening times, about 8 o'clock, this is evangelist Lester Roloff. You don't hear that anymore. The voices are silenced. That crowd not only wants what we have by way of introduction, that crowd wants to change what we have. Notice what it says. Give me thy vineyard that I may have it. There are so many people that want your church. They want what you believe. I want it for a garden of herbs. I don't want it. I don't want it for a church. I want it for a dance hall. Stop making your churches look like nightclubs. After my departure, don't let anybody come in here and start taking down those and painting everything black up there. Get rid of this old pulpit here. Get rid of the piano, and the organ, and get rid and bring a little dance band in here. Hey, you ushers, I thrill as I see you come down here looking like men of God. I know a tie doesn't make you a man of God, but you sure look like one. We want it. And he says here, and I will give thee a better vineyard. You can't get anything better than what God's deposited in your care. It is a crucial hour. The breath of God is gone in our churches, so many of them. There's just nothing happening. They're as dead as last year's Christmas tree. And I pray that you'll pray that in this church we'll have life and enthusiasm, the power of the Spirit of God and serving God, and let's go home to your church and do the same. I'd say thirdly, by introduction, it's not yours to give away. They said, I'll give you another one worth more money. And he said in verse 3, Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. Why are you giving it away? If you want one of these emergent churches and contemporary churches, go ahead and do it. But don't take the buildings and the people and the sheep that have been built off of old time religion. Well, I would give you something better. It's not much better than seeing sinners come down these aisles and getting saved. There's not much better when you're watching people follow that Lord, our Lord and believer's baptism. There's not much better when you're seeing people shout and have joy and wipe away a tear when someone sings, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. I see tonight what we've lost in verse 6. And he said unto her, because I spake to Naboth, the Jezreelite. What man's going to whimper to his wife like that? And he's a king. And we're supposed to be men of God. And I think I'm going to quit the ministry. The deacons weren't very good to me. It's not their job. I know we can prove it is their job. Their job's to help you and deliver to those in need. And free you to pray Acts 6:4 and to read the Word of God. I have 33 of them. I don't want to get rid of any. We've got another 15 in training right now. I don't want to get rid of one deacon. They've lifted my hands. They've strengthened my ministry. I thank God for them. I thank God for the widows of this church that pray for me. I thank God for the single dads and single mothers, parents that are single and raising a family that love my wife and I and pray for us. Thank God. Here's this guy whimpering away to a woman. I was at Brother Ray, your church. My goodness, this happened 30 years ago, and a great man of God was preaching, and he said, it might be that tonight, dear pastor, we were in the back row. We came in, I think, traffic. We just came in with a busload of people, and we came in, and we sat, I think, in the back row, and there was a preacher. I have no idea who he is. Guaranteed he's not in the ministry now. He's in front of us, and this preacher is preaching. He goes, you might be going through a hard time, a pastor in your church, and difficult times and facing difficulty. And he kept just going down lower and lower. But I tell you the thing, and my wife knows, if she ever did this to me, I would have the big one. And all of a sudden, she took her arm in your church. I guess your church just accommodates things like that, Brother Ray. I'm not too sure. Thank God for a Mike Ray. Amen. And all of a sudden, I watched this, and she slipped her arm around this way, her husband, around her husband, and began to pat him on the back. No! No! 1,000 times, no! Sort of like the basketball game in college when Brother Tim was playing, huh? And he got hit in the jaw or something, blood all over. Blood everywhere. They split this open. He had to go to the hospital eventually and stitch it up. And I sat on the bleachers. My wife sat on the bleachers. And my wife was behind me. I'd sit down there when he played, and I had my other ring on, and I'd ding on that little rail like this. You could hear it all over the gym. It's all the paint is gone from that one. And I'd cheer him on. And my wife said, you better go over and check. I said, I'm not going to check. Brother Clint Fredericks, he's no longer on staff. You understand why when I tell you this. He said, he's motioning, come on over. My wife says, he's calling. And he's calling me. He wants me. Talking about her. And she stood. And Tim said, no! Yes! The game goes on. They're cheering the team. Eventually, I wander over there. We stayed for the end of the game. I don't know if he came back in or not. But I tell you what, if we lost, he wasn't back in the game. If we won, he was back in. Here's this guy, a king. Here you are, a man of God. A man of God. I know, God bless you. I want to share. I want to share your burdens with you. I want to bear your burdens. I want to pray with you, Galatians 6. I want to love you. I want to know your needs. And you have prayer. I want to pray with you. And I know it's tough at times. And what am I? I know that. And God bless you. There's a bullseye on you from old Satan himself. And he's out to get you in his cunning ways. But I want to say, fellas, being a preacher of the gospel is the greatest calling in all the world. And being a member of a Baptist, independent, fundamental, temperamental Baptist church is the greatest thing in all the world. Don't lay in your bed. So when I got laid off, well, you're not going to help by crying on the bed, having your wife stroke your back. Well, I'm depressed. Well, get over it. Get over it. Well, it's hard. Well, life is hard. Think of your poor wife. I'm not trying to be indifferent. But it's time to be a man. And man in the pulpit. And declare the word of God with authority. Thus saith the Lord. And he's crying. A little upset. She said, because I speak to Naboth, the Jezreelite. I said to him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else, or else. Great woman. If it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard. And he answered, read that last line, ready, begin. I will not give thee my vineyard. Verse 6, the last line, ready, begin. I will not give thee. One more time, like Independent Baptist, ready? I will not give thee. Don't give away what was given to you. Preaching was given to us. Now we live in a day where they want their ears to be tickled. That's not our job. Oh, reprove and rebuke and exhort. Let's not forget the exhorting, encouraging. But the first two, let's not forget that. Reprove, we discover error. I'm not trying to be the Gestapo, but I'm looking all the time with a smile on my face. That's a little air coming in right there in our Sunday school. That's a little air coming in the choir. That's a little air coming in this ministry here. I'm so thankful. And you delegates, please hear this, that are not pastors. I'm so thankful I've got staff and deacon and church and deacon's wives. I say, we want you to discover the air, Pastor. Oh, I know it's not 100%, but I didn't take a vote. But they still support it. I'm to reprove and discover air. But then here's what we don't do. We discover it, but then rebuke. I deal with it. You have to deal with it. Don't you get tired of it? I get tired of it. And I don't like it. It's not my gift. But I have to do it. Because that dear lady and that dear man, I see they have children coming up. And I want to do everything I can to be the shepherd for that family so that they can have children that grow up, love the Bible, read the Bible, pray, go to Sunday school, go to church, bring a little family to church that they've raised up. It is vitally important we do right. Listen, don't surrender preaching. Don't give it away. And don't give away pastoral authority. Don't give away preaching. Don't give away pastoral authority. Hebrews 13, we're to obey them. Verse 17, that watch over our souls, and they must give an account. I'm going to give an account to God for this church. Years ago, not this pulpit, the old pulpit, I preached from that pulpit 25 years, and a young lady, sweet, did not mean wrong. She said to my wife, you may want to tell Pastor, and she was telling Mrs. Treber what she should tell me about something about preaching in the church. And I'm certain she meant it for good. I really do. I don't think she was being a bossy, dominant woman. And my wife said to her, she said, as loving as I can, she said, see this? That is God's man's area. And it's not my job to tell him what to preach. She was with us, this girl, sweet girl. She might be watching us. We love her. And she was, my wife was training her. And she said one day, and she corrected me at something in a business deal. She was there with my wife and I. And my wife, the man walked out to go do some paperwork. And she said, I was doing something for the church. And she said, I want to tell you something. If Pastor says the sky is green, the sky is green. She goes, but it's blue. She goes, no, if Pastor said, and I know this is going to sound dictatorial, and Pastor's never wrong. You can run the vacuum cleaners in this church if you want. You can run anything. But you're not going to run the pulpit. Come on. And I run the vacuum cleaner. I run the vacuum every morning of my life before the staff comes in. And I went to the closet to get the vacuum this morning, to vacuum as I do every day their hallways and their offices and get their heat going so it's nice and warm, because I'm there and I want to have it right for them. I love those people. But I tell you what, my vacuum cleaner was gone. someone who stole my vacuum cleaner put it back in, because I'm not going to vacuum your office if I have to go look for the vacuum cleaner tomorrow morning. I'm not talking about let's be big shots. I'll guarantee it, that lady over there cleans some restroom every day of her life around here. I'll guarantee it, we're in this thing. We don't want to lord over our people as co-pastors. And I'm not suggesting, though, this is my area. Ah, little woman, sit down and shut your mouth and listen to me. No, I have too much respect for her. I love her too much. And she has so much wisdom. I want to gain some of that wisdom. We saw that great Christian school. And I tell you what, your heart had to be moved this morning. Watching 125, whatever, kids here learning how to sing four-part harmony just like that, and how they sang. It's amazing. But I didn't have any idea how to do that. Just like I had, really, I had no natural idea how to raise kids, but I had a wife who would stand in the shadows and help me learn how to be a father. And a good wife will help a husband learn how to be a pastor with the help of the Holy Spirit of God, but she's not going to boss him around, Jezebel. I'm not suggesting, little lady, sit down and shut your mouth and be quiet. I'm not suggesting that. But you are God's man, sir. We've surrendered our preaching and we've surrendered pastoral authority. And the people of God have surrendered. It seems like we think there are dual convictions. There's the Sunday morning, Sunday night convictions, and the rest of the time, it's my life. I'll do my thing. I'll listen to the kind of music I want to listen to. I'll dress the way I want to dress. I'll go where I want to go. We're even seeing in our churches where Christians endorse wine and drinking of liquor and going to the old movie house and going to the dance hall and going to the nightclub. A man said several years ago who went into adultery, he said, God led me. No, God did not lead you into that. We embrace all this new nonsense. Yeah, but we're strange and we don't want to think people to think we're strange. Think it not strange, friend. You're God's child, called as a Christian. For some reason, I've been thinking all day today about here's two parties, political parties. This one, and I'm not calling them liberals. This one says this is what our party is. We are liberals. We believe in abortion. We believe in sodomy. We believe that the government ought to pay for your transgender change. We believe that you ought to be in the military. We believe that the government owes you food. This party here says that's what we are. I'm not saying it's a wrong party right now. I'm just saying that's their platform. Do you know what party I'm talking about? And this party over here, what is this party? Politically. It's Democrats. And this party over here is Republicans. And their platform, if you read it this past year, was incredible on birth and life and protection and guns and the whole nine yards. I know we're on the air. But this party said, if you don't like that, we get you this guy over here. He's a socialist, which is neighbor to communism. But friend, I am not here or here or here or here. And I tell you what, I'm not here. And you bring me all the way over here, I'm not there. I'm way up there in those stands. But the same thing is happening in our churches. We say, well, listen, we'll just, look, you be this. I'll just be this. This is wrong. But I'll just be this. This is wrong. But I'll be this. This is wrong. And this right here is not right. I'd get as far away from all that. When you think that we can take the life of a baby and go to Congress and plead for money to kill babies. I'm not in this crowd over here. No. The Constitution, we are to preserve life. I'm getting away from this crowd. And you can stay there if you want. And our church is not going to go over here either. Not, I'm not talking about politically now. I'm talking about in Christianity and religion. We're not going this way. Where are you at? I'm not just about church. I'm from having old-time religion church. Say, well, I'm not. Well, then go over there. There's a communist over there, a socialist. Go join his church. But figure out what you are. But don't try to change me for what I believe, what we ought to be here. Hey, surrender. Don't surrender. Don't give in what your daddy gave to you. Preaching and pastoral authority. God's people. I pastor the greatest church in America. They serve. They soul win. They're separated. There's stewardship. There is a sacrifice for the things of God, and we love it that way. But it's working. I'd say lastly tonight, don't give away your purity. God's word makes it very clear, love not the world, neither the things that... I wonder what that means. It means love not the world. Oh, I wish I could do that. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. I like what you said this morning, Brother Johnson, about Romans 12. Years ago, you were preaching somewhere. You said, you don't start... Ready, here, you don't start with verse 2 and be not conformed to this world. You start with verse 1, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy.
Yeah, you guys have so many standards, so many rules.
Yeah, well, you're in verse 2, but you never got to verse 1. That's the problem. I tell you, when you become a new man in Christ, those old things just go away. I just saw right now, we were singing, Brother Alvin was singing, Brother Thiago and Natalia. And my wife led them to Christ on Easter last year, and they're like our adopted children. They fled here, asylum from Brazil. They've seen every sad situation you can see, and killings and you name it. It's paid off, and his dad died, his brother died, awful things. Natalia, they both fled to America, and then they met here and got saved here, got baptized here. I tell you, when I watch them now, they're in our Sunday school class, I watch them in the choir. Whoo! It's amazing to see them. And I had him bring his guitar last week to class. And he said, he played it. And he sat down on a sort of stool. We were like a contemporary rock band having a good time. And he said, when I think of all my faults and all my failures, and then he closes his eyes. Hi, you remember? I loved it. Because I was closing my eyes and shouting, and he was playing that song. And it was our class of young couples were thanking God and praising God. God changed their lives. They ask us questions. My wife texts them. They talk every day. We're checking up on them. We go eat together. We fellowship. They've been at the house. We just love them. And our class loves them. But they're like hungry little birds taking it in. Their cousins got saved adults. And they're over in the Spanish conference tonight. And then their little nephew Isaac's in the Christian school and loving it and just loving it. And mother's learning how to speak English. And they got saved. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. And yet, I tell you what, I watch a young couple like this that we haven't said, here's a rule, here's a rule, here's a rule. I just watch them say, we want to do so right. We love our church. We love our God. He saved our soul. What was that song, honey? You got them a CD right after they got saved. Was it Cal, Brother Alvin singing? Was that the song? At Calvary? And Natalia, they used to sit with my wife every service, but they're big shots. They sit by themselves right now. And Natalia, I looked her down there. My son, they have brought such joy. But it's not, oh, we want to do wrong here. What can we do? How do we have? No, no, no. We're to be a purified people. I believe I've spoken to you long enough. Don't give up what someone fought to give to you. My wife's mother, dad, my mother and dad, and then you go to their parents, her grandparents came to this country legally. And my grandparents, born in 1887, came to this country. We want everybody. We got in because they came the right way. We want as many as we can have. And they came in the right way. Oh, the day you got your card that you could start working here, both of you. Woo-hoo! Oh, happy day. And they're doing it right. A lot of hardship ahead of them. I know all that. But I'm going to tell you something. My grandparents and my wife's grandparents from Russia, Germany, and from Sweden, they came here and they gave their families church. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And they gave it to my mother and dad and her parents. And they gave it to, in our family, Judy, Jack, and Jill. And my wife's family, dad and mother, bless her mother's heart, 45 years of age, died with cancer. Left 8 kids. And left Dwayne and Rich. On the day he got married, the police had to come to the hotel and knock on the door and said, go home, your mother just died. And left Cindy and left Calvin and left Rich and left Mark and left Verlin, left Benny. Did we leave out anybody? There's so many kids in that family I can't keep straight. And they did the same thing. All of your family was in church last Sunday. And our family was in church. All of our 13 grandkids in church last week, because now it's been passed down. You're not going to make it by determining, I'll give it away. Church doesn't mean that much. I've got a 3-day week and I got to get out camping to get some rest. You can't do any better than the New Testament local church. Don't give it away. Those churches, Brother Tony, we talk about it. We were talking together in Tennessee this summer. Those great churches, you preached at them all. They're empty. They're gone. The 10 largest churches, the 10 fastest growing churches, they're gone. Most are empty. As a boy, my dad would buy us the record of the month, and we put that record on. And we had the great Amen Choir, 200 voice choir, Van Nuys, California, First Baptist Church. The building's torn down and it's gone. J. Frank Norris, as I stood there, that great, great ministry, and the buildings are gone, and there's 2 glass skyscrapers in its place. And Temple Baptist Church, and do I need to tell you about Highland Park Baptist Church, Chattanooga, Tennessee? Because some folks have decided to give away what was not theirs to give away. Because somebody paid a price. I've often thought about our grandparents, how they came over on boats. They didn't fly first class over here. And how they came on those boats. And how hard that must have been. And I think about how difficult then to be in a country, Brother Thiago, and not knowing a soul. And having to find my grandparents, find some work. And then raise those children. And have family altar. And my blind grandmother raising 9 kids. And I think about the price they paid for me. I'm not going to give it away. I was raised on deep and wide. I was raised on, I will make you fishers of men. I was raised on those great, great little courses. And then that night over here in Hayward, a large woman sat on that piano bench, and she said, in 1960, I just wrote this song last year. I think you're going to like it. And on a Friday night, she said, let me sing it to you. She was on a little band. She goes, His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name, I don't want to give that away. I don't want to give nothing but the blood away. Trust and obey. Those worked in my parents and my grandparents, and they worked in our life. Let's not give away that which is given to you. As we stand tonight, this altar is open. There needs to be some decisions tonight. There needs to be decisions. Say, I'm going to go back and not give away my youth group. I'm not going to give away that church. I'm not going to give away our good old music. I'm not going to give away preaching. I'm not going to give away sacrifice and tithing. I'm not giving it away. Friend, what are we thinking? America is going to hell tonight. And it's not President Trump, and it's not Hillary Clinton's fault. It's God's people. If my people, which are called by my name, there must be a moving of the Holy Spirit of God. There has to be. Won't you break? I look at those little grandkids' faces of ours. I look at my children. I'm so burdened, our children. I'm burdened for them. I look at your children in our school. I watched them on that video there this morning, thinking, I've got to live a good life, God. I've got to be healthy and strong. I want to raise these kids with their parents for God. Pianist plays a stanza, and I don't want us to leave for a moment or two. I want you to pray. Tell God why you're kneeling.